Don the Mantle, written by Wandering Jedi Historian and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars Rebels fic. Callus groaned as awareness came back to him. He was going to have words with whoever put that mission brief together. That's what he got for taking a mission based on someone else's intelligence. At least he didn't seem injured. That was a positive sign. With a sigh, he opened his eyes. At the sight that greeted him, he closed them again. Opened them. Blinked several times. Still, the sight remained unchanged. Even if it was impossible. What in the hells was he doing in the barracks of a Star Destroyer? If the worst had happened and he'd been captured, it certainly wouldn't be the barracks they sent him to, especially not unrestrained. Slowly, he sat up. Out of instinct, he reached for the button on the chrono that would project the date so he could know how much time had passed. The world spun as he took in the date before him. Perhaps this was a nightmare of some sort, or a hallucination? The brief said they weren't entirely sure what protections the device had on it. Forcing him to relive the assault on Lassan certainly would be a fitting way to neutralize him. Still, that idea didn't seem right. This felt all too real. Barely daring to draw breath, Callus reached for the datapad on the ledge beside his bunk, hoping for answers. Codes he could never forget led him to log into the datapad and reveal the orders for the attack. The details were exactly as he remembered them, the words practically seared into his brain forever. The odds of anything other than reality being so detailed were slim, very slim. This was really happening then. The how was really of no importance. It was happening, and that was all that mattered. He was about to experience this day all over again. Only now he wasn't the angry younger man he had been, who allowed himself to justify the actions taken on Lassan for so long. He couldn't hide behind claiming the Lassat who killed his first squad represented what all Lassat were like, and using that to justify the orders he was given. The orders he gave. He was honest on Baron when he told Zeb that Lassan wasn't supposed to be a massacre, but it always had been intended as a statement. What could he do? Blowing out of breath, Callus forced away his emotions and made himself think. He'd been an intelligence operative for so long. He knew how to compartmentalize. He'd been a spy. He knew how to make the hard calls. This wasn't time for allowing his emotions to rule him. Breathing deep, he let himself settle into the Agent Callus mindset, the one that let him be cold and calculating. That was what would serve him here, as ironic as it was. Fact 1, he appeared to be in the past. Fact 2, the assault on Lassan was about to happen. Fact 3, he could not prevent that from happening. He didn't have the type of authority for that. Fact 4. He could still make a difference. He just needed to be cautious. Resolve settled in his gut, and he checked the chrono once more. He didn't have long to form a plan, barely an hour before he had to report for transport to the surface. But he'd done more with less. As he went through the necessary physical preparations, he reviewed his hastily cobbled-together plan. He just didn't have the means to save all the Lassat he came across. He had nowhere to hide them. But there was one thing he could do. Focus on the royal family. It wasn't about Zeb, not really. Saving the royal family, giving the surviving Lassats something, someone, to rally around would be the logical plan regardless. But it did feel good that doing it would also ease a deep pain that Zeb had been forced to carry. Kallus was self-aware enough to know, without Zeb, without Baron, he wouldn't have changed sides. Zeb's insistence that he ask questions, stop turning a blind eye, it made him really stop and look, made him question. And when he didn't like the answers he found, it was what he saw of Zeb and the ghost crew that made him take the chance and become Fulcrum. He found his footing from there on his own, but there could never be any denying what gave him the push. The man he was today, the man who was about to help the Lasat how he could, that man wouldn't exist without Zeb's compassion and aid on Baron. That he could now use that same compassion to help at least a few of Zeb's people, he didn't know what to call it, but he liked it. Giving all the orders he was expected to give as part of this attack was perhaps the hardest thing he'd ever done. He emphasized that they were there to make a statement, to assert the Empire's authority in the name of stability. The words were like ash in his mouth, but he did what needed to be done. If he failed to act as he should, it would draw too much suspicion before the attack even began. He couldn't afford that. The T7 ion disruptors were in crates being loaded onto the transports. Kallus's first order of business after landing was going to be finding a way to destroy the crates. The plan said that the initial assault was going to use standard blasters and walkers. Then, once they had Lasan's defenses distracted, the disruptors would be brought into play. Those disruptors could not be used. Not today. Not on his watch. He didn't yet know how he would do it, but he had to find a way. As he boarded the transport to the surface, Kallus let himself wonder about a larger question to distract himself from the problem of the disruptors. If he succeeded today, what next? For all that Luke Skywalker had destroyed the Death Star, the Empire was still very much a threat. And between Scarif and their attacks on the Death Star, the Rebellion's fighter fleet had been decimated. He wanted, he hoped, that the Rebellion could succeed, that they would win, and that the Empire would fall. But there was no guarantee. Kallus was far too experienced, too jaded, perhaps was the word, to think that just because their cause was noble, it guaranteed victory. The galaxy didn't work that way. With a pang, he realized that he couldn't follow his half-formed plan to desert in the midst of the assault. He needed to stay with the Empire. He knew at this point in the timeline there wasn't a cohesive rebellion yet, but he could spend the next few years gathering data. Even at the height of his power as ISB 21, he didn't have the clearance for things as heavily guarded as Project Stardust, but there would be other ways, other avenues for him to gather intel that a fledgling rebellion would need. He would just have to don the mantle of Fulcrum far earlier. It would be all right. The cause was worthwhile. Increased chatter around him drew his attention back to the present moment. They would land soon, and he needed to be ready to act.
Breathe, Kallus thought to himself. Just breathe. Don't let the memories overwhelm you.
It was so much easier said than done. Kallus fought. He had to. There were too many eyes, too many who would see him hesitate. He got out of the line of sight of fellow Imperials as soon as he could, though, and carefully circled back towards the crates of disruptors. An idea struck as he saw one of the fallen member of the Honor Guard. Like any weapon, a bow rifle could be rigged to explode, and it would be faster than breaking into a crate and rigging one of the disruptors to overload, and wouldn't require him to use any of the limited explosives of his own he had on him. He hoped the late guardsman would approve of this final use of his weapon. Kallus grabbed the weapon and ducked behind a broken section of wall. Years of having a bow rifle meant he knew just what to do. Getting it to the crates was harder, but he managed it. Getting himself out of the blast zone was the hardest part. He cleared the blast itself, but not the debris caused by the explosion. Fortunately, the pieces of rubble that hit him were small. Imperial comms exploded with chatter, and Kallus activated his long enough to give an order to set more security around the rest of the equipment. It would get more Imperials out of the fighting, putting fewer between him and his goal. He muted his comm once more and kept moving. He had to keep moving. He took shots where he had to, aiming to incapacitate where he could, but the Lasat were strong, proud warriors. A minor injury would not keep them down. In his mind, he apologized to each warrior he had no choice but to kill. The last being he expected to see was the warrior whose bow rifle he'd once carried. He'd expected that the change in his actions would prevent this meeting. Kallus mentally cursed. There were other Imperials too close. He'd never get away with just trying to incapacitate the warrior. He steeled himself and engaged. Doing what he had to do, he gave his all to the fight just as he had the first time around, a Kirking lifetime ago, and yet no time at all. He hoped this warrior would understand, would think it a sacrifice worth making, if he knew. It was little comfort, but it was the best he had at the moment. Lasat were formidable foes, and Kallus was breathing hard by the time the warrior went down and stayed down. Kallus had to swallow back a bile at the way the few of his fellow Imperials that were around cheered. "Don't you all have something to be doing?" he demanded harshly, putting every ounce of command and disdain he could into his tone. The other Imperials scattered in the face of an irritated superior, and Kallus turned back to his fallen opponent. The Lasat looked up at him and held out his bow rifle. Understanding now, in a way he hadn't the first time, Kallus took the weapon reverently. He knew others would see it as a trophy, but he understood. He knew what it really meant. Dropping to his knees, he whispered, "I am so very sorry. You fought well. You can rest. I will do what I can for them." There was still a curious look on the Lasat warrior's face as his eyes closed for the last time. Staggering to his feet, newly acquired bow rifle in hand, Kallus forced himself back to his other mission. Find the royal family. Now he had a promise to keep that wasn't just to himself. Zeb mentioned the secret bunker once on a warm night on Yavin 4 after their return from Lothal and too many drinks for both of them. He'd explained how it had been his responsibility, as captain of the High Honor Guard, to get the royal family to it and protect them once they were inside. The problem was, Zeb didn't give him much in the way of specifics as to where it was. The conversation had been too focused on their own failures, things brought to the surface after Ezra's disappearance. For all the young Jedi had made his own decision, the rest of the ghost crew and those close to them couldn't help but feel his disappearance as a failure on their part. Kallus let himself have a few heartbeats to be frustrated by his lack of knowledge, then he forced it away. He had a mission. "If I had a secret bunker, where would I put it?" he asked himself, as he fought his way closer and closer to the palace. An explosion rocked the area, and another thing Zeb told him came flooding back. Zeb had been with the royal family until he was knocked unconscious by an explosion. Could that have been the explosion Zeb mentioned? There was only one way to find out. Kallus raced in the direction of the blast. He rounded a corner and saw an achingly familiar form unconscious on the ground, amidst the debris of a destroyed wall. Knowing he could not help Zeb now, he pushed forward. Several more Lasat, the royal family and their remaining guards, or he would turn in his intelligence operative credentials, were huddled close. And three Imperials had them backed into a corner, unable to flee. With a steadying breath, Kallus raised his newly acquired bow rifle. Three neat shots dropped the Imperials, who never even saw it coming from one of their own. He couldn't let himself feel guilty for that. "We have to hurry," Kallus told the Lasat. The two remaining guards aimed their weapons at him in suspicion. "Yes, yes," he said, waving a hand. "Feel free to shoot me, but there's plenty of others out there who would happily shoot you, and I'm trying to help." The older of the two guards narrowed her eyes. "Why should we trust you?" she demanded. Shrugging, Kallus replied, "I won this weapon fairly, defeated one of your warriors in combat. He yielded his weapon to me according to the Busan Kira. I respect and honor that." He saw the shock that he knew of the warrior tradition flicker across their faces. "I couldn't stop the invasion," he continued, "but I can do this. I know there's a bunker. Let me help you get there. The survivors of this day will need someone to rally around. The guard spoke again. Would think your empire wouldn't like that. Kallus pushed away his initial retort. Sarcasm would not serve him here. Oh, they definitely won't, he replied instead. All the more reason to do it. The queen spoke then. There is something of the Ashla around you. You were sent to us for a purpose. And oh, Kallus was prepared for a great many things, but not that. He didn't want any sort of gratitude. Sometimes a warrior must take a risk to serve the greater good, Kallus offered thickly. The queen smiled and nodded. We will follow you, she declared. A young child peered up at him from behind the queen, and it took every ounce of Kallus's self-control not to lose the battle with the emotions threatening to rise inside him. He could not think of what this child's fate was the first time. His first time on this world, he'd cheered at the destruction of a threat to the Empire. Now, the grief of what he could not change would consume him, if he let it. He hardened his resolve to not let it. I do not know where the entrance is, Kallus confessed, but I can help protect you until we reach it, and then cover your tracks. The guard asked, will you accompany us in our escape? He wanted to. Oh, how he wanted to walk away now. I cannot, Kallus replied. I cannot stop the Empire, but I can do things like this, can help where I can. But for that, I must be on the inside. With a solemn nod and understanding in her eyes, the guard replied, very well. Only with great reluctance were the guards convinced to leave Zeb behind. Kallus understood their desire to help him more than he could voice, and they all knew what Zeb would want them to do. They had to protect the royal family. They had to go. I will return and help him if I can, Kallus promised, ignoring the ache in his own heart. He didn't know if it was going to be possible, didn't know if Zeb would still be in that spot when he returned, but he knew what Zeb would want, and that settled any guilt he felt. Slowly, so very slowly, they worked their way through the broken remains of the royal palace. Mor Lasat joined them by the time they reached the hidden bunker entrance, mostly family members of guards and a few palace staff, though an additional guard found them too as they moved deeper into the palace's interior. By Kallus's count, they had 30 survivors by the time they reached the door, enough that he'd started to worry about concealing their movements if they had to go much further. He kept an ear on the Imperial comms chatter, and while no one else was nearby yet, thanks to massive fighting just outside the palace grounds, it wasn't going to stay that way much longer. The bunker is large enough for many, the queen asserted, mistaking his concern. Kallus hoped it was supplied for many as well. He didn't know how long they'd need to hide. He pointedly looked away when the guards opened the partially hidden entrance to the bunker. He didn't want to know how the door in the wall could be opened. What he did not know, he couldn't be made to tell, should the worst happen. How long can you hold out in the bunker? He asked quietly. The king, who had so far been quiet, was the one to reply. Long enough to reach a means of escape, he declared. Kallus let out a breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding. Getting them to the bunker wouldn't have mattered if they couldn't survive inside or get away later. Is there another entrance somewhere? He asked. Easiest way to make it seem like you didn't make it is to destroy, or at least cover this one, but I don't want to seal you in. The guards all nodded. Multiple options, the most senior remaining guard, the one who found them in the hall, assured. And there are other bunkers scattered around the city and countryside, remnants of wars long ago. There is hope that others can reach those too. Relaxing, Kallus nodded. Then hurry, he urged. The female guard went in first, and in seconds she declared that the stairs were safe to descend. The king followed the guard, with the royal children herded in next after their father with one of the other guards. The others soon followed, until all that remained was the queen and the final guard. Are you sure you must remain? She asked. With a shaky breath, Kallus nodded. I have more I must do, he replied. Accepting that, she nodded. May the Ashla protect you, the queen offered. If we are able to get to it, we have a ship large enough to get ourselves and the others who made it with us off-world.
Thank the Force,
Kallus thought. Or perhaps the Ashla, though in many ways they sounded the same to him, given how the ghosts Jedi and Zeb spoke of them. Still, neither Force nor Ashla provided physical sanctuary. The Lasat needed somewhere to go. Where could he send them? A single word came to mind, another planet he would do all he could to try to save. Go to Alderaan, he suggested. Tell them what has happened here, if they don't already know. They are a brave people. They will offer you sanctuary, even if you must hide. The queen smiled. There are many forms of bravery, she said. We will not forget yours. Will you tell me your name? For a moment, Kallus considered it. He selfishly wished his name could mean something good to the Lasat, rather than destruction. Then he realized there was something he could say, a code name that was as much a part of who he was as any name or rank ever was. Call me Fulcrum. She began to reply, the look in her eyes telling him she knew it was a code, not his real name. But then a blast rocked the area, and the wall opposite them cracked. Kallus knew time was up. You must go, he urged. The queen nodded. Thank you, Fulcrum. The guard herded the queen through the open passage. He was about to seal it when a young Lasat couple, the male in the uniform of the guard, and their two children stumbled into the room. Go, quickly, Kallus urged, waving them in. The royal family has already entered. The couple scrambled to follow, picking up their children to move faster. Thank you, the woman offered as they hurried through the passage, likely realizing that had they been seconds later, it would have been too late. Another blast rocked the area, and Kallus knew he had the perfect way to hide the entrance. He carefully set several explosives and then slipped out to the far side of the room. In seconds, another blast went off nearby, and Kallus used that to time blowing up the corridor the bunker passage was located in. It wouldn't seem out of place. One explosion often triggered another. He returned to where Zeb had been, only to find he was gone. Kallus didn't know if that fit what happened the first time or not, and as much as his heart ached for it, he didn't have time to devote to finding Zeb. Maybe in this lifetime, too, he could find Zeb in the future, though as a better man than he was the first time. Maybe he wouldn't. There was no way to know. All he could do was focus on being that better man, for himself as much as anything else, and let the rest happen as it would. Reluctantly, he exited the palace grounds, using what cover he could to make it harder for others to detect where he came from. He rejoined the fighting, clinging to the knowledge that at least the royal family was safe, and the T-7s had all been destroyed before they were deployed. Lasan still faced destruction, but there remained a little bit of hope. The guards told him there were other entrances, and other bunkers. Maybe, just maybe, with lesser weapons than the T-7s in play, some Lasat could reach those other bunkers and hide until the Empire left. Maybe, just maybe, more of them could survive this time, in defiance of the Empire. Still, that was on them now. Kallus had done what he could. He participated in a few more firefights, then circled back to where the command dropship was, bow rifle secured to his back. Report, he snapped out, tone the most commanding he could make it. Kallus knew that his subordinates saw the bow rifle and assumed it a trophy. That was an assumption he had to allow. They had to think him that sort of man, for any of this to matter. He had to see the rest of this out, no matter how much he hated it. He'd done all he could to make it better. And, in truth, he knew one thing. If he never managed anything greater than saving the royal family and those with them, that was okay. Even if this was the biggest change he could make, it would be worth it. Because when he woke up in the past, he chose to do better. He could live with that. The end. We brushed our hands right back in time through centuries as you heard the down. You said, I'll see. This has been Potted for Pod Together 2023, and I, the Podficker Flower Parish, would like to thank Wander for collaborating with me and writing this beautiful fic. Thank you. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave a kudos or comment to let me know. And if you enjoyed the story, please do not hesitate to also make sure Wander knows how great it is. Thank you for listening.